Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Father, here we are this second night. Now show us your glory. If you don't confirm your word, how will the people know that I've heard from you? If you don't demonstrate your word, how will the people know that you're back in this and that you've orchestrated all of this? If you don't show up, how will we know? So I fully trust you to do what you do best, manifesting your presence and your performance as you confirm your word in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen. All right. Come on, open your Bibles with me to John 14. We started this off last night, and we're talking about be firm in faith. That's our directive from the Lord for this new year. He wants us to be firmer in our faith, to be firm in faith. Last year when we came into 2024, he gave us the word, no more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. And even though we taught on that and we spent, I spent several sessions because I knew you have to teach people how not to toil because they're so used to it. They're conditioned to do it. You have to teach them how to not tolerate and live in a place of toleration and acceptance. And you have to teach them so that the revelation can bypass their heads and get into their hearts. And, you know, it's still sad to say that some of us, we don't put forth the effort to renew our minds. And so when we don't renew our minds, we're subject to make things harder for us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do something. We have to be in alignment with his performance. Put that down in your notes. I must be in alignment with God's performance. Yes. You can't bring God down to how you see things. You must come up to how he sees things. You must come up to his perspective. And so the scripture text that we're starting off with is John chapter 14. Verses 21 through 24, I shared with you all last night that this was a passage of scripture that God gave me back in October. And so let's go ahead and read it, verses 21 through 24, of chapter 14 of John. And of course, I'm reading from the King James Bible. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so I share with you that God gave me this passage, and then with that passage, he gave me these two words from that passage: stay connected. Stay connected. To become firmer in faith, you're going to have to discipline yourself to stay connected to God's word, God's will, and God's way. You're going to have to stay connected to God's word, God's will, and God's way. And that, my brothers and sisters, is called divine alignment. You don't see the phrase divine alignment in John 14, verses 21 through 24, but you do see the concept. Let's read it again. Look at verse 21. Jesus says, he that hath my commandments. He that hath my commandments. In order to have them, that person now would have to hear them. He's not talking about people memorizing it and trusting their memory. Remember, Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to have to get out of this religious thinking to where you think that you have faith because you have heard something. It's a lot of Christians who are making that error in their judgment. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by what you're hearing. The same way, nutrition doesn't come by the food you ate last week. You have to eat again today to pull and draw the nutrients from today's meal. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there's some of us who get into this habit. We call ourselves believing God for a particular manifestation or demonstration, but we're not hearing the word of God concerning that. And so listen, if you're not hearing the word on it, then you don't have the word on it. The Bible says, he that hath my commandments, or hath my word, and keepeth them. You can't keep his word if you're not hearing his word. Because when he's talking about keeping it, he's talking about treasuring it to the point that you are allowing the word now to govern your way of thinking, your way of talking, your temperament, your attitude. You're allowing the word to now govern your atmosphere and all your responses. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Keep a marker at John 14 and flip over to Luke chapter 11. Look at Luke chapter 11, then we're going to go back to John 14. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, just one verse. Look what Jesus says here. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He says, the one who chooses to discipline themselves to hear this word, he said, I will empower them. That's what blessed means. They will be empowered to prosper. They will be empowered to progress. They will be empowered to be provided for. They will be empowered to be promoted. They will be empowered to move through situations and circumstances, all because of the word they're hearing that I spoke. Blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. So I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that we have to understand what Jesus is talking about in John 14 so that we can do what the directive is in this three-night meeting: be firm in faith. Now, a lot of times when God gives me something, you got to understand that it comes to me first before it's given to you. So he's not just giving me something for you. He gives me something, and through me, he releases it to you. So he's dealing with me first. And there are areas this year that I believed with everything in me that I was firm in faith. But then I saw that now when he started dealing with me and I started looking through those situations, looking at those situations through the lens of what he's having me to share with you, I saw where I could have been better. I saw where I could have done better. I saw where, like you've done before, I was believing God based upon what I had heard before, and I did not take the time, and I know better. I did not take the time to stop and hear the word afresh on this particular subject that I'm believing for victory in. And that's a requirement. Go back to John 14. We're going to look at this. That's a requirement. Because now I shared with you last night that the word firm, let's look at this definition again. The word firm means to, when you're talking about something that's firm, or, you know, like a platform that's firm, it means to having a solid, almost unyielding surface. And I kept hearing that word unyielding. And I saw this year how in certain situations I could have been more unyielding instead of starting to think and allow the thoughts to creep in saying, well, what's wrong with this? Why isn't it happening now? What's going on now? And so then the Holy Spirit would check me, Mark, why are you starting to wonder? W-O-N-D-E-R. Why are you starting to wonder right now about this? Because if you hold on to this, it's going to cause you to wonder, W-A-N-D-E-R. He says, son, why are you wondering? Hear the word. And like you, I have to discipline myself. Because we get so busy with our own schedules, our own routine. And then, I'm going to go ahead and call it like it is. Some of us get like this, our flesh controls us, and we don't want to get in the word. Some of us get like this, we just flat out tired. I'm tired of all this church stuff. Well, you got to understand, this ain't church stuff. This is life stuff. This is our lives we're talking about. Wait a minute. See, it's one thing to quote this verse I'm getting ready to say. It's a whole different ballgame to believe it. The Bible says this, in him we live, move, and have our being. It's one thing to quote it. It's a whole nother different ballgame to live by that. See, this is not a church thing we're doing. I ain't got to hear the word all the time. I got to live my life. In him we live, move, and have our being. And if you're not careful, you'll allow your flesh, your natural way of doing things, your natural tendencies, your natural understanding, your natural habits to talk you out of a spiritual position of victory. So to be firm, having a solid, almost unyielding surface or structure. It means to make something physically solid or, and I like this word, resilient. I shared with you last night that when a person is firm in their faith, it means that they are not going to change their mind. They're not going to change their belief. They're not going to change their attitude, no matter what happens or what goes on. Be firm in faith. By being firm in your faith, you're actually saying that you're in control of yourself to continue believing what you started out believing. So we looked at these points about being firm. We said, number one, I need my scribe. Number one, to be firm is to be strong and unwavering. Now, I shared with you last night that God says, I'm giving you this, Mark, because in this new year, there are some things that will happen around you, but you're not to allow it to disrupt you. I shared with you that there will be some things that will be and sound disturbing, but if you're being firm in faith, it won't disturb you. There are going to be some things around you that will come and you know, send a message to try to disrupt you, disrupt your peace, disrupt your harmony, disrupt the harmony in the home, disrupt the harmony in relationships. But if you're firm in faith, then you won't fall prey to the disruption. Then there'll be some who will fall for the deception. Some people will believe the lie from Satan and make it their truth. And they're going to feel justified for how they feel and not realize that they have fallen prey and into a trap of deception. Now listen, people who are deceived don't know that they are deceived. Why? Because they are deceived. They have made a lie, a deception, their truth and reality. And now they put their emotions and their mind frame behind this and don't even realize that they are wrong. It takes the light of the Word of God to be shown on the deception that's in people's minds and hearts. So we said, looking at these bullet points about firmness, to be number one, to be firm is to be strong and unwavering. You got to make up in your mind. Number two, to be firm is not to be weak and not to be uncertain. You're not going to give in to uncertainty. Uncertainty about what move to make. No, you're going to trust the Holy Ghost. That even when you don't hear him, you know he's still leading you. You didn't get that. That even when you don't feel like you're hearing him, you're going to trust that he's still leading you, because he promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So number one, to be firm is to be strong and unwavering. Number two, to be firm is to not be weak and not be uncertain. And then number three, to be firm is to not be easily moved. To not be easily moved. This year, why did you allow some things to move you like they did? They moved you emotionally. Some of you gave in to some fear tendencies. Why did you allow some things to move you as easily as they did? Why did you allow some things to bother you? Why did you allow some things or some people to get under your skin, so to speak? Why haven't you outgrown that place to where your buttons can no longer be pushed by those people? Why do you still have and struggle with personality conflicts? Why can't you grow to the place where you can love all people, because Jesus died for all people, and all the people Jesus died for were people who do ugly things? He didn't die for perfect people. To be firm is to not be easily moved. And then to be firm is to not be disturbed. To not be disturbed. To not be disturbed. One of the things I can honestly say, and I give God praise for it, and it's not because I'm perfect, that I didn't allow anything to disturb me. That I got myself in check when I saw that happen. I said, oh no, we're not going there. No. No. You're not going to cause me to second guess God. We're not going to be disturbed. So to be firm, dear hearts, is to be steadfast. To be steadfast. Now, I told you to go back to John 14, right? Because we're looking at this because, as I've already shared, God told me that this particular three-night meeting, he's going to use it as an impetus for the year 2025 in our lives. Let's look at our definition of the word impetus before I read the scripture again. Impetus means the force or the energy with which a body moves. In other words, it's the force that makes something happen or makes something happen more quickly. So God says he's going to use what we hear in this three-night meeting, how he saturates us in this three-night meeting, for that to become an empowerment of impetus that will cause and make some things happen for us in the new year, or cause some things to happen more quickly in the new year that we never thought was possible. Glory to God. So a simple definition of impetus would be the kind of force that encourages an action, or the kind of force that encourages a momentum of an action that has already begun. So I believe that God is going to cause you and I to move toward some things in 2025 with an attacking force that we didn't even come close to in 2024. Now, I said this to you, and it bears repeating. I believe the year 2025 will be a difference-making year for you. And the three words that I heard for 2025 is the word alignment, adjustment, and accuracy. Alignment, adjustment, and accuracy. Now, I want you to see this because even though you don't see this phrase, I mentioned it already in John 14, there is the word alignment, the concept of it, the imagery of it in this passage of scripture. There is the word adjustment, the concept of it, the imagery of it, and then also accuracy. Now watch this. Verse 21 again of John 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. There's the alignment. See, divine alignment is all about what you say verbally outside of you. It lines up with what you say internally within you. Because what you say to yourself affects the revelation on the inside of you. What you say will either release that revelation or it will restrict that revelation. Are you listening to me? So God is expanding our capacity to cause divine alignment. Glory to God. Because to be firm in faith, it's going to cause you to be in divine alignment with God's will and his word. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I wanted to show you real quick tonight before I show you something else about this loving business. He's not talking about having a warm feeling. He that loveth me. What's he talking about? Well, that word love is since he's talking about his word, you got to understand that when Jesus talks, he's always talking covenant. It refers to that word love there. It refers to or symbolic of covenant fidelity. That you're going, since you have his word, you're hearing his word, you're choosing to keep his word, meaning you're allowing that word to govern your life, and you're demonstrating that you're operating with covenant fidelity toward God. You're in covenant commitment to God. You following me? Covenant commitment. Covenant commitment. Let me just give you a little example of covenant commitment. Because Cheryl and I have been married over 41 years. Now, this just didn't happen because we reached 41. This had to happen the whole journey in order for us to get to 41, or we wouldn't have made 41. When because I'm in covenant with Cheryl, I don't think like I'm single. I don't act like I'm single. I don't talk like I'm single. I don't move and I don't make moves like I'm single. Why? I'm in covenant. So Cheryl doesn't have to be around me to see that I'm always regarding our covenant in my talk, in my walk, and in my thought. You follow me? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, who's committed to me, who's demonstrating covenant fidelity to me. Are you listening to me? See, you're going to have to get to the place where you understand that Jesus sees you all the time and Jesus hears you all the time. There's some folks who think that what goes on in their house stays in their house. They think that nobody knows. Well, Jesus knows. And that could be why you haven't gotten some answers to some prayers. Some people think that they can say anything they want behind closed doors and nobody knows. Well, Jesus knows. And he knows when you call yourself a Christian and you call yourself representing him, but you're not talking like him and you're not talking in agreement with him. Jesus knows. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. You got to keep them when you don't feel like it. You got to keep them. You got to keep this even when you're going through and facing distasteful moments in life, challenging times in life, when you're facing disrespectful people in life. You don't like some people say, lay your Christianity aside, and now you think you feel justified to act ugly because they acted ugly? No. Somebody has to act like they know Jesus. Somebody have to understand that they are obeying Jesus. In him we live, move, and have our being. So let me show you. Why do people stumble? Well, they don't understand the measures of faith. Let's look at this. The measures of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You don't have to turn there for time's sake. I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that verse reveals that God has dealt to every person the measure of faith. And then it tells us for us not to think more highly of ourselves. So I can't think that I feel justified and I don't have to allow the word of God to govern my actions. I don't have to allow the word of God to govern my thoughts. No, remember we read this in John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. So how are you acting? How are you acting when you think nobody knows what you're doing and nobody knows what you're saying and nobody knows what you're thinking and nobody knows what feelings you're giving into? How are you? Are you allowing the word to govern you? See, God's saying, I want you to understand, my child, that what you're going to face in 2025, you must become more firmer in your faith. Now, we must take heed to this directive, because I don't want us to suffer the consequences and suffer the defeat that it will cause by us not obeying this. Okay? Now, he says, the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Well, there are several, the Bible reveals that there are several measures of faith. I want to give them to you tonight. Number one, there's a measure of faith that the Bible reveals, and it's called having no faith or being faithless. Now somebody said, how is that a measure of faith? Well, it's having no faith, being faithless. And this measure of faith is revealed, you ready for this? When you need physical evidence as your truth. When you need physical evidence as your truth, the Bible says you are now being faithless. In other words, you have no faith. Because now you are giving yourself to the natural realm. You need to see something natural, physical, visible. You need that to make you feel good, to give you peace of heart and peace of mind. You need something to happen. The Bible says when you're like that, you are faithless. You have no faith. That's not the measure that we want to have. If we're going to be firm in faith, we got to move past that place. Amen. Number two. There's a measure of faith the Bible calls having little faith. Little faith. Little faith is manifested when you give yourself to worry and fret and frustration instead of trusting God. The Bible says, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So the times you lean to your own understanding, you're going to give in to worry because you're going to start thinking the worst is going to happen. Well, the Bible says when you operate like that, you have little faith. And we don't want to be there. We love God too much. Come on. We believe God too much. We want to trust God more than that. Amen. Little faith. When you worry, when you fret, when you give in to frustration, instead of living in peace because you trust God. I like how Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But here's the part I like. Because he trusteth in thee. Well, when you have little faith, you struggle with your trust. And if you are one who struggled with trust this year, it's evidence that you are operating with little faith. Why were you operating with little faith? Because you didn't take time to hear the word of God, to hear the teaching of the word of God. That's why we have our YouTube channel. So you can go there and watch videos and build your faith. That's why we have on our website, the sermons page, so you can go there and listen to the audios and just keep listening and build your faith. That's why I send out rebroadcast emails with sermons I teach so that you can go back to the email, hit the audio link and listen to it and build your faith so you can move past this place called little faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Then there is a measure of faith the Bible reveals. It's called weak faith. Weak faith? Yes. The Bible calls it weak faith. When you're in this place called weak faith, it's because you're taking into consideration everything that's opposing your faith. You're giving in to the battle, even though the Bible says we fight the good fight of faith. He said it's a good fight, but he still said it's a fight. So if it's a fight, then that means that there is an opponent. If there's a fight, it means there is an opposition. If it's a fight, it means that there may be some obstacles to your believing. But see, when you give in to those things, you give in to the opponent, your adversary. When you give in to the opposition, the strategies that the adversary bring against you and it causes you to think that nothing is happening good for you. When you give in to that, the Bible says you have weak faith. Because you're taking into consideration everything that's opposing your faith. You know, the scripture says in Romans 4:19, how Abraham, he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. His body was now dead, but he didn't consider it. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb didn't just die. Sarah's womb was dead her whole life. She couldn't have babies. But the Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith because he did not take none of that into consideration. Could it be that this year you was taking the wrong things into consideration? And it affected your faith. If you took the wrong things into consideration, the Bible says you are operating with weak faith. So it's not that God didn't want to answer your prayer. You just didn't listen to the word long enough. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You didn't listen to the word long enough until it persuaded you to move from this place of weak faith so that you can go to the next measure, which is called strong faith. The next measure is called the measure of strong faith. Strong faith doesn't stagger at unbelief or doubt, but strong faith continues to believe and, watch this, constantly gives glory to God. My goodness. Strong faith. It gives glory to God because it's convinced of the word of God that it believes. Strong faith. It doesn't stagger at unbelief. It doesn't stagger at doubt. It doesn't stagger, but it continues to believe. Watch this. And as it's believing, it's constantly, come on, say constantly. It's constantly giving glory to God. Strong faith. Abraham wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider his own body, which was now dead. He didn't consider Sarah's dead womb. He didn't consider none of that. So the Bible says he was not weak in faith. But in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God. See, that's what John 14 is talking about. When it says, let me get it. Verse 21, when it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me, won't stagger from it. Won't let it go. You will continue to see your life through the word God spoke to you and not see your life through what's happening around you. You won't take that into consideration. See, be firm in faith. Strong faith. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Glory to God. And then the final measure that we all should be reaching for is called great faith, the measure of great faith. The Bible reveals that great faith, you ready for this? How do you know if you have great faith? Great faith is where all you need is the word spoken for your evidence, and you settled. Once you got the word spoken, you're settled and you rest, and you don't care what happens. The Bible calls that great faith. You remember that centurion soldier? He told Jesus that he wasn't worthy for Jesus to come into his house, but he said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. With all that God has done for you, why aren't you at a better place of where you can tell God, all I need is your word and that's it. I don't care what happens. Speak the word only. I'll get my healing. Speak the word only. I'll get the money I need. Speak the word only. I know my ministry will turn around. Speak the word only. I know my business will turn around. Speak the word only. We're gonna ride on your word. Let it ride. Let it ride. Let it ride. Speak the word only. The Bible calls that great faith. And Jesus said, I have never seen so great a faith even in Israel? His own people didn't believe him like this soldier did. Speak the word on. Well, I come tonight, I'm talking to his children. What about you tonight? Can you believe God to where all you need is a word? I believe you can. Yes, you can. We can do it. Not just you, me too. We can do this. Amen. But you have to understand that it's going to require you, glory to God, to develop a conviction about it. Say conviction. Yeah. You got to understand that when you have a conviction, it adds firmness to your faith. A conviction is having a firm belief that causes you to, watch this, establish a consistent course of action and you don't change. That means you have a conviction. And so you have to understand that, and I pointed this out before in one of my teachings, that faith and believing are not the same. You got to understand that faith and believing is like two sides of a same coin. One side is faith, the other side is believing, and you need both to make the coin legal. You follow me? In the realm of the spirit, you need both faith and believing. I've taught you this before. Believing is accepting something as real with no physical evidence. And faith is the spiritual force that locks on to the word of God. Come on, go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I'm just about done tonight. I'm building in you so that you can, I'm building this truth in you so you can understand how to go to another measure of faith and become firmer in faith in Jesus' name. Go with me in your Bible, Hebrews 11 and 1. You know, this is where we get the biblical definition of faith. Hebrews 11 and 1. I'm going to read it from the King James, and then I'm going to read it from several translations because I want us to get something tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to download in within us. The King James Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So listen, please, get this. You may believe you know this, but we're going to make sure that you're clear about it. Notice what it says. Now faith is. So I told you believing is accepting something as real with no physical evidence. Listen, King James Bible says, now faith is the substance. Listen, this is how you know if you're in alignment with, in proper alignment with faith. Faith is always now. Faith is always present tense. Listen, I am not going to get my healing. I have my healing. That's faith. Going to get or believing that God is going to do, that's not faith. Now faith is. Faith is always now. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for or the things expected. Now listen, if you're in toleration, you're not in expectation. And if you're not in expectation, you're not in hope for faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's look at another translation. Let's look at the Message Bible translation. Watch this. The Message Bible says of Hebrews 11 and 1, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Wow. That's the Message. Let's look at the Living Bible translation. The Living Bible translation. Watch this. It says, What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Glory to God. That's the Living Bible. It's the confident assurance. It's the certainty. See, so faith and believing are two sides on the same coin. You need one with the other to make the coin legal and cause it to work. Believing is accepting something as real with no physical evidence. Faith is the confident assurance that this is mine. Faith is the certainty that what I'm expecting is waiting on me. It's mine. Now, how can you be frustrated and you're living like this? How can you be down and discouraged and you're living like this? How can you be upset if you're really living like this? You follow me? Be firm in faith. Okay, let's look at another translation. The NIV translation. Here's the NIV. Let's look at the NIV. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Glory to God. To be sure of, to be certain of. Were you living like that this year? Through your challenges, through your situations, through your circumstances? Through the different things that you faced this year? Were you living with this type of certainty? This type of surety? Here's another translation. The New English Bible. The New English Bible. It says, and what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. Glory. Make us certain tonight, Lord. Make us certain tonight about something. Make us certain about the kingdom realities that you have released in our lives for 2025 in the name of Jesus. Makes us certain of realities. And then here's my last translation. I did this one on purpose on last. I made it last, the Amplified Classic. Because I love the Amplified Classic translation of Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch this. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I can go home. Oh, that's right. I'm already at home. Glory to God. Did y'all get that? Let's look at it one more time. Now, faith is the assurance. Okay? We talked about having this assurance. Okay? Faith is the assurance, the confirmation. Okay? I'm not waiting to see a confirmation. My faith is my confirmation. All right? Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Oh, now, wait a minute. The title deed. We got to ask ourselves, whatever we've been praying to God about, whatever we've asked God for, after we got through praying, did we act like we had the title deed of the answer, or were we waiting to see something to believe the answer has come? Faith is the title deed. I have the title to the Cadillac, to the car we drive. That's my car. My name is on the title deed. So I always look at it this way. My name is on my blessing. It's not if God is going to give it to me because I already have the title deed. Who gave me the title deed? God did. He gave me the title deed to the answer, to the blessing, to the manifestation, when he gave me the word for that answer, for that manifestation. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. So that means that how can you ever say, I don't see nothing happening. I don't see God moving. Wait a minute. Your faith is the proof of what you don't see. So when you say, I don't see anything happening, nothing is happening for me, you're saying that you are faithless. You have no faith because your faith is the proof of things we do not see. Can you see how some Christians get it wrong? Can you see how we just get religious about this, but we don't get serious about it? We play these little spiritual games, but we're not really serious, and we wonder why we see people defeated, why we see people discouraged, why we see Christians having mental breakdowns, why we see Christians giving in to frustration, agitation, irritation, exasperation, all because they're not in divine alignment, glory to God, with their faith. Hallelujah. So, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Not when I have it in my hand. That doesn't make it real. My faith is the conviction of the reality of the thing I'm believing for. By the time we have it in our hands, we're supposed to be believing for something else. We're not waiting on a whole something. You already got it when you got faith for it. That's how you have to live. The conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So when God tells us to be firm in faith, he's also telling us, stop being firm in your senses. Stop being firm in the natural realm. Stop making the natural realm your reality. Don't come and try to bring to God about what's happening in the natural realm and you can't even believe what he's already established in the spirit realm. So let's close this out tonight. Glory to God. Let's close this out by, there's something I want to give you. I want to give you something, glory to God, that'll help you establish this firmness in your faith. Where's that note at? Where's that note at? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here we go. We're gonna end with this tonight. Being firm in faith requires this. You ready? It's 8 things. I'm just going to give them to you. And because I'm closing out, I'm not going to elaborate on all of them. I want to give them to you. I might just mention a point if I sense that you need to hear something on it. Being firm in faith requires, number one, agreement. I've been talking about that all tonight. It requires agreement. The Bible says this in Matthew 18 and 19. If any two of you on earth shall touch and agree concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Do you know that, and I know most of us as Christians look at that, meaning that we've got to have two physical people. You know the first person you're in agreement with is Jesus himself, because you're in him and he's in you. So you need agreement. That's how you have this alignment. Agreement. And you have to have this thought, I am protecting my agreement with Jesus. Come on, write it down. I am protecting my agreement with Jesus. That's how I'm believing for this. I'm protecting my agreement. Jesus didn't lie to me. Jesus didn't fool me. Jesus didn't trick me. I am protecting my agreement with Jesus. You got it? Number two, it requires, being firm in faith requires corresponding actions. corresponding actions. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 20, faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions. In other words, you're going to have to act out what you say you believe. If you have faith in God, you're supposed to also have rest in God. You can't have faith in God and be disturbed. You can't have faith in God and then give in to the devil's taunting when he says, look, look, you believe in God, look, ain't nothing happening for you. Look, you're going to have corresponding actions. You must, as you protect your agreement with God, this corresponding action means you're moving in belief. I believe God. I believe God. Y'all remember my testimony when, excuse me, when God, I'm praying years ago for my healing. God said, Mark, heal man, don't lay in bed. I said, no, let me lay here. Cheryl want to take care of me. Let me lay here. God said, Mark, heal man, don't lay in bed. I said, God, come on. Cheryl want to take care of me. He said, if you're believing for your healing, you got to have a corresponding action. You got to move. I believe God. You got to have I believe God move. I believe God move. Three, being firm in faith requires determination. You're going to have to strengthen your determination. Your determination is your fixed purpose, your fixed will about this. I'm not backing down. You got to say that. I'm not backing down. I believe God. I'm not backing down. You got to be determined. You stop giving in to unhappy feelings. You stop giving in to sorrow and sadness. I told y'all, I have retired from down days. I don't have down days. I made an agreement with the Lord that I'm not giving in to discouragement no more. Man, I stopped discouragement. I don't know if y'all remember this, the last time I sent you all an email series about overcoming discouragement attacks, and I even taught it. Man, I don't give in to discouragement. Why? I'm determined. Number four, being firm in faith requires confidence. You're going to have confidence in what you're doing and in how you're believing. Confidence. Stop doubting yourself. Stop doubting yourself. Stop second guessing yourself. You can read and you see what the Bible says. So have confidence in what God has said to you. Watch this. And then have confidence in your response to God. Stop measuring if God heard you by what you see. Stop measuring if you heard God by what happens to you. Have confidence. Have confidence. Number five, this kind of goes with number two. Being firm in faith requires movement. Movement. In other words, you have to move out of something and move away from something and move into that which you're declaring that you believe. You got to move out of something. So like, I have taken my name and my address out of the town called discouragement. I have moved out of that and I have moved away from that. So discouragement now is no longer a temptation to me. I'm not perfect, but I am determined. You got to have movement. You have to move out of something and move away from something and then move into that which you have declared that you believe. Movement or moving involves your heart, your mind, your mouth, your body, and your life. I'm moving. All right. Number six, being firm in faith requires a decision. You got to decide you're going to be firm in faith. You got to make a quality decision. What's a quality decision? It's one you will no longer back away from. A quality decision is one you make that there is no compromise. I made it. That's it. This is it. This is how we go. This is how we roll. See, when you make that decision, that's it. You got to make the decision. And some of you all, I'm speaking to you tonight, you're still allowing your past to haunt you and taunt you. Why are you doing that when God has a fullness of life ahead of you? Why are you trying to live life looking in the rearview mirror? Some people never move forward because they won't let some things go. Listen, we're not denying what has ever happened to you, but you got to determine that you're going to decide to live in defiance to that and not let it stop you. Man, I had some bad things happen to me. The other day, it was maybe about a couple of weeks ago. Now listen, I'm 62 years old. I'm 62. Good Lord, I'm 62. Now listen, y'all better hear me. The adversary brought up something before me in my mind and tried to pull it from my memory that happened to me when I was 12 years old. And it occurred, something that occurred between my mother and father in our house. This argument and the whole 9 yards, I'm not going to go into detail. 12 years old, I'm 62. That was 50 years ago. Did you know that? And he tried to bring fear and this guilt upon me. And I was a 12-year-old kid. Man, I took authority over that. You can't bring that on me. That can no longer touch me. You can't haunt me by that. You can't torment me by that. You can't taunt me concerning that. And there's some of you all. You're still holding on to some things. Your stubbornness to refuse to let it go. Did you know that refusing to let some things go is pride and selfishness? See, you have to be proudful and selfish enough to keep yourself in a victim frame of mind, to be the victim. You're not a victim, you are a victor. We're not denying that any of that happened. We're not denying that what happened to you didn't happen. It happened because the devil tried to derail your destiny. But look at you now. You listening to me tonight, the devil couldn't stop you. He couldn't stop you way back then, just like he couldn't stop me way back at 12 years old. And he couldn't stop you. You got to make the decision. Man, I'm moving forward. I'm living in defiance to this. Number 7, being firm in faith requires you to stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Now you can see how this goes connect with the decision. You got to begin declaring, I'm better than this. I'm better than this. You're going to have to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop thinking what you think you missed out on. Stop thinking that you think your opportunity, you missed it. Some of you, some people, man, I tell some single Christians, stop thinking that you missed out on your godly spouse. No, you want to be married? Believe God and be determined about it. Stop all of this fluctuating and vacillating. And then those who married, remember, that was your blessing, so you stop acting like that marriage is a curse. It's not. Let's believe God together. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. And then finally, number 8, the last one. Being firm in faith requires you to hold true to who you are. No, excuse me. Being firm in faith requires you to hold true to who and what you say you are from the Word of God. Hold true to who and what you say you are from the Word of God. I'm telling you, the adversary, he's going to come and challenge your faith declaration. But the more confident you become, the more bold your faith declarations become, the more you will witness the opposition falling backwards in the presence of the firmness of your faith. Continue to declare it and your enemy will fall. One more time. Number 8 is hold true to who and what you say you are from the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I give you praise and thanksgiving. And as these people sat here and listened to me, you've been doing something in us, upon us, and with us this whole time. They have not been sitting here for naught. They have not been listening for naught. There's a reason. And you're causing things to come into alignment in their lives. You're causing their thoughts to come in alignment with your performance. You're causing their perceptions to change. You're causing attitudes to be adjusted. Adjustments are being made. You're causing shifts to take place. People who didn't realize that they were going to favor these people tonight, they didn't know they were going to be favored. They're going to be the instruments of favor for these who are on this call tonight. You are setting up people in their future. You're setting up appointments. You're setting up rendezvous with favor that are taking place in their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we yield. Come on now, just lift your hands right where you are and say, Father, I yield to the adjustments that you're making in my life. Come on, say, Father, I yield to the alignment that you're causing me to make in my life. Come on, say, Father, I yield to your spiritual accuracy like never before in the name of Jesus. Now, just take a moment and worship him. Come on, thank him for what you heard tonight. Let him know you heard. Let him know that you receive what he was saying to you. It wasn't just, not so much what my words were, but his words behind my words, what he was saying to you. Let him know you receive it. Father, I caught that. I received that. And thank him for it in the name of Jesus. One word from God, and you will never be the same again.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God, and you will never be the same again.